Tired of buying a bunch of different shorts for working out, looking good, and just life in general? Try Bird Dogs. They feel like gym shorts, but look like khaki shorts. The ultra-breathable fabric keeps you cool, and the built-in liner is an added layer of support. To top it all off, Bird Dog shorts look so good, you can wear them anywhere. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
That's what I'm talking about. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. I will not be on the air in this time slot tomorrow. I will be on Long Island tomorrow helping out with the DA show on CBS Sports Radio for their big Bob's Bar Bash 2023 extravaganza. So if you're heading out to the show tomorrow, say hello. I will see you there and glad to help out with that very fine radio program coming up tomorrow. I did lose a bet, so I have to pay off the bet tomorrow. So make sure you tune in and you can see how all those things do go down. And filling in for me tomorrow, you could hold the applause or maybe hold the booze, will be Hot Take Hickey as well. So a lot of pressure for you tomorrow, Hickey, on a big Friday for the network, the Big Bob's Bar Show, followed up by, of course, Bill Ryder, then Jim Rome, then Mackie and Perloff, and then we get to our time slot. You got to come out swinging tomorrow because people are going to be very animated and jacked up about what they've heard prior to us getting on the air.
I'm ready to embrace the expectations. Thank you for telling the audience to hold the boos. I know they're ready to rain down.
Boo!
Just like the A's fans were booing the team the other day. So, and everyone's ready. Save the boos for tomorrow, but we're ready to come out firing.
Ready to go.
Imagine if the fans did the reverse boycott and they showed up outside the studio tomorrow. No more Hickey. No more Hickey. No more Hickey.
Hickey sucks. Hickey sucks. Hickey sucks.
That would actually be great for your career. If you had, I don't know, 200 people show up outside our 345 Hudson Street studios to heckle you tomorrow, that'd be fun.
I think I have to do then classic, like, road opponent enters a stadium with a hostile fan screaming, sunglasses on, maybe the big Bose headphones that are like noise canceling and walking in all cool as the boos are raining down on me, the villains in the building. Really just kind of build it up there. I could kind of live out that fantasy.
I actually had an encounter once with paparazzi. I don't know if it was TMZ.
Wow.
But there was something going on where someone was coming back, and that day it was raining, so I just so happened to take an Uber, and I just happened to get an Uber black car. It was just what was available. I did not order the Uber black, but it just showed up, and it was a nice fancy SUV, and I guess they were waiting for another talk show host, and the big SUV pulls up, and a camera was right there, and I got out of the car, and the Uber driver's like, what the heck do you do that this camera's waiting there? And I was like, oh, that's for someone else. It's not for me. I'm just going to work. And whoever the reporter was or the TMZ or the videographer was, when it wasn't the person they were looking for and I got out of the car a few years ago, they were like, oh, sorry. And I go, yeah, I know who they were looking for, but it wasn't me. So I did think that was funny a few years ago. That was my biggest encounter going into work with the paparazzi and the press trying to hawk some of the talent around here.
Then ask any questions afterward? That was just, oh, okay.
No.
On to the next car, guys.
They were looking for the person that was coming into work. They weren't looking for me. So, all right, anyway, I will not be here on Friday. That's why I was saying that. So we will do a little onsides offside today on this Thursday. Hot Take Hickey, take it away.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, what do you got for me today, sir?
Let's start with a little hoops. Shams Charania reported yesterday that the Wizards, if they decide...
By the way, I almost called you Mikey B there for a second. I was like, all right, what do you got for me today? And I almost said Mikey B, and that's why I went with Sir there. I don't know why.
He hasn't worked in 3 years. Am I not forgettable?
No, I just... For some reason...
I know he named his son after me, so maybe that's why the connection is there. So maybe I get that, but boy.
I don't know why.
I'm not looking like him.
Mikey B. Wow, is that a shot at Mikey B?
He's got gray hairs.
So what's wrong with gray hair?
He's getting old.
There's nothing wrong with gray hair. A lot of people think gray hair is sexy.
I still got a little life in me, that's all. If I look like I'm 45 years old, I got a problem. I'm not taking a shot at Mikey B.
I think that was a shot there.
I'm just saying, like, if you think I look like him at age 28 and he's 45, I should be concerned.
Guy gets a few hosting shifts and all of a sudden start taking shot at someone that I really like, Mikey B.
I like him a lot.
Your voice got really high there. Oh, I like Mikey B. Sounds like you're lying right to the skin
he's
of your teeth.
He's taught me a lot in this industry, and he is someone we've had a lot of good laughs with as well. He's very sarcastic.
What did he teach you? Come on. I love Mikey B, but what did he teach you?
Producing, running the board. We've worked together a ton.
I don't know about that. I think you were taking a shot at Mikey B. But anyway, give me the questions. Let's go.
All right. Well, you were about to come with the wrong name.
All right, Mikey B, go ahead. Connor Green, take it away.
Jack Stern, go ahead. Some of those were compliments. Yeah. Shams Charania.
Carlos Ortiz, you're up, my pal. Let's go.
The Basketball World reported yesterday that if the Wizards decide to opt for a rebuild this offseason, they will look to trade star Bradley Beal. Now, Beal is currently the only player in the league that has a no-trade clause, so obviously he can control where he wants to go. Brian Windhorst was on ESPN today and reported that the two frontrunners to land the three-time All-Star are the Heat and the Bucks. Now, The Athletic later on today also reported that the Kings are interested in Beal's services. Onsides or offsides, Bradley Beal will be traded to the Miami Heat.
Great question, Tom DeCelestino. You asked me Bradley Beal will be traded to the Miami Heat. That is onsides. I don't think Zion Williamson is going anywhere. I don't think... You take a look at Damian Lillard, that he's going to get traded as well, because I don't think Damian Lillard knows what he wants to do. Bradley Beal is available. He can control it because he has a no-trade clause. He may not be as expensive in terms in return for what you would have to give up in terms of what you'd have to give up. So I think this can really all come together where Jimmy Butler gets his number two. Bam's then the third best player on that team, and you have Bradley Beal donning a Miami Heat uniform. So I will go on sides on that, Tom DeCelestino.
All right, the U.S. Open at the L.A. Country Club is wrapping up round number one, and there are a ton of huge names in contention. Now, Brooks Koepka is looking for his third U.S. Open victory, which would tie him with Tiger Woods, while Scottie Scheffler aims to win his first major that isn't the Masters tournament. Rory McIlroy does still hold the U.S. Open for the lowest 72-hole score, and Matthew Fitzpatrick does look to defend his title after winning last year. Onsides or offsides? Brooks Koepka, right now in the field, is the most feared golfer.
That is a great question, James Boccioni, because just because you're the most feared golfer doesn't always mean that you're the best golfer. Now, we do know what Brooks Koepka has accomplished here and what he's done in the past, then kind of lost his way, did a really great job the first three rounds, and then in the fourth round at the Masters, did not go his way, then hoists the Wanamaker Trophy. Today he goes out there, he's one over right now through 10 holes, so we'll see how he finishes this up when the leaders, historical day for Xander Schauffele and Ricky Fowler. I would say the guy that is the most consistent and the guy right now that is the best golfer is Scottie Scheffler. But Scottie Scheffler, as great as he is, doesn't have a polarizing personality. And I think to be the most feared golfer, you not only have to be great, but you also have to have a little swagger to you and a little intimidation factor as well. So that's why I would go with Brooks Koepka. And I love Scottie Scheffler. John Rahm is also kind of a little bit more calm and quiet as well, even though he is just a force on the golf course. But I think Brooks Koepka has all those major championships, and he also has a little bit extra swagger and juice and intensity than the other guys. And I think with the way that you worded that question, James Boccioni, that Brooks Koepka is the most feared golfer, I do think that plays a role in my evaluation that you have to not only be great on the course, but you also have to have a little something extra to you. And that's why I would go with Brooks Koepka. So onsides.
All right, let's continue. Let me ask you this. With the golf.
And I know that you're a very casual golf fan. Do you think Brooks Koepka right now, with the way that he's playing, is the most feared golfer? Or do you go with guys that have just been better for, you know, and been more consistent in a guy like a Scottie Scheffler or Jon Rahm?
I would probably go with the guys I see more in Scheffler and Rahm, just because we know, obviously, Brooks' history in terms of how dominant he is at majors. Actually, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Does the fear part happen more because you don't see him that often? Actually, I'm going to reverse that. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking on the fly here. I think it's almost like the big bad monster of, oh, it's major season. Now here comes Brooks. So this is where
his And these are the only things he actually care about.
Right. He dominates in this fashion. So I will go yes. I think he is the most feared golfer because now you don't see him a lot. And now he kind of rides in on his golden chariot, if you will, for these four big events a year that he actually cares about and also plays well and feels like every time he's healthy. I will go with yes, most field golfer.
All right, Michael Sampson, what's the next question we got here?
All right, let's stick with golf because guess what? We saw a
history. I'm running out of names, by the way. It's getting tougher.
At the first round of the U.S. Open, both Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele posted record scores of 62. It was the lowest round in U.S. Open history. This has been a tournament that's been around for a very long time. Not only did they make history at the U.S. Open, it also tied for the lowest round in any major tournament in golf history. Both now do sit atop the leaderboard at 8 under par. They right now have a 2-shot lead. Remember, Brian Harman is right now at 6 under. You have Rory McIlroy at 5 under. You have Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau both at 3 under as well. So a lot of big names near the top of the leaderboard. Onsides or offsides, either Ricky Fowler or Xander Schauffele will win the U.S. Open.
If you give me two names or one name and the field after one day of a tournament in golf, and we're not even fully through this one day, because right now, Brian Harman, who, as you said, is two backs, only through 11. Rory McIlroy, who's three shots off the lead, is only through 11 as well. And then you guys got like you have guys like Harris English and Wyndham Clark and Bryson DeChambeau and Scottie Scheffler all in that 4-under, 3-under, and some of those guys are through. Like Bryson DeChambeau done for the day, Scottie Scheffler done for the day at 3-under. You're all hovering there, still in reach, and you could shoot a 62 one day, and then the next day you come on back and you're nowhere close to that, so I will take the field, even though what Ricky Fowler did today, wearing some white pants, no funky pants yet from Ricky Fowler, and Xander Schauffele both did incredible on the golf course and put up these great historical performances. I'll take the field, then Fowler and Schauffele, so I will go offside.
Offside!
Earlier today, Broncos defensive back, Pat Surtain II, was on the Pat McAfee Show. He discussed his top three receivers in the NFL right now. Take a listen.
Offside.
Oh, that's the wrong button. Here we go.
Top three receivers right now, I'm going to have to go with Devontae, Jettas, and Tyreek.
So Devontae's just like impossible to stick with, huh? His shake is just insane. Is that real?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
So, Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill. He didn't give an order, so I'm not going to hold him to the order that he listed, but those are his top three wide receivers. I'll ask you, Zach, onsides or offsides, your top three receivers in this order is Devontae Adams 1, Justin Jefferson 2, Tyreek Hill 3.
Oh, great question. I feel bad about leaving Ja'Marr Chase out, but Justin Jefferson has been a more elite wide receiver, and the other two guys have been doing it for a lot longer. I kind of want to say Justin Jefferson's one, but Adams has been great, and he did so without Aaron Rodgers last year, and he's been doing this longer. So, yeah, I'm okay with that order. I'm good with that. That's probably how I'd rank it as well. Adams 1, Justin Jefferson 2, and then Tyreek Hill in at number 3. I'll go on sides on that. Would you go on sides on that? I think that's very fair.
It's tough. I would probably flip Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill. I put Justin Jefferson 3 just because Adams and Hill have not only done it longer, done it with multiple quarterbacks, which I think also is impressive.
That's fair. I don't know. Even with Tyreek Hill, his speed is just so crazy. and I'm intimidated by all three of these guys. I'm more intimidated if I was a defensive back going up against Justin Jefferson, but that's just me. What do you got for number five?
All right, let's keep the rankings in the NFL going because CBS Sports' Pete Prisco released his list of the top 100 players heading into 2023.
I had a big problem with this list, by the way. It has nothing to do with the question. I love Josh Allen. Josh Allen can't be the second best player in football. And how many – he threw a lot of quarterbacks in there before Jalen Hurts. With what Jalen Hurts just did last year, there was a lot of guys there that haven't accomplished anything close to what Jalen Hurts has done so far in a short amount of time that I didn't like as well. So those are the two things I had the biggest problem with on that list.
You just said Josh Allen was the second best player in football according to Pete Prisco. That is because Patrick Mahomes is number one and Joe Burrow is number three. So top three players on Pete Prisco's list, all quarterbacks. The first non-quarterback comes in at number four, and it's 49ers edge rusher Nick Bosa. Onsides or offsides? Nick Bosa is the best non-quarterback in the NFL.
He's right there if you want to make a case best non-quarterback, but I can't say that he's definitely better than Myles Garrett, than TJ Watt, Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams, guys that we were just talking about. Don't get me wrong. Nick Bosa is a flat-out stud. But to say that he's the best non-quarterback in football, there's a lot of guys that are very close and guys that could be slightly better. So as great as Nick Bosa would be, I would go offside on that one.
Offside.
Who's your best non-quarterback in football?
I mean, Bosa's right. I'm trying to think. I think I might go Bosa, to be honest.
Over TJ Watt?
Yes. I think he's just...
And he's Myles healthy, Garrett?
Just unblockable. And like better than... I think he's, to me, harder to slow down than Davante Adams is. I think he's harder to slow down right now than Justin Jefferson is. I think he's harder to slow down. Offensive line is tough, so I feel bad.
That's just not sexy.
It's also hard to grade just because of how... Yeah, I think so. I like Nick Bosa at four.
Okay. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Great job, as always, Ike Feldman, for producing this extravaganza. We will take a break. We will come on back. And when we do return to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, I have five questions for this upcoming college football season. We'll welcome back Hot Take Hickey to the show. And I want to ask Hickey five questions about this college football season and just see how he believes it's going to play on out based off the five questions that I have.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to the five questions that I have for Hickey about this upcoming college football season, there's a lot of pressure on you tomorrow, Hickey. Not only are you filling in for me as I'm helping out with the DA show, along with Mraz and Pete the Body Bilotti and Andrew Bogish as I pay off the bet that I lost to them throughout the football season at their kick off the summer Bob's Bar Show coming your way tomorrow on Long Island. Feel free to drop by. We'll say hello, have some fun there if you're in the area. But you are then filling in. So it's a big day. And I just saw on Twitter that our pal Jameson from Milwaukee, who is a great, and I mean a great connoisseur of food, and he's excellent when it comes to cooking food as well. He has some sort of cookie business. I forget the specifics of it, but Jameson sent us cookies once a few years ago, and these were gourmet cookies. They were to die for. They were delicious. And last week, Jameson, who always tweets me about food, posted a photo, and I think it was of a burger or some steak sandwich. I forget what it was, and I gave him a stock up on the show because the food photo was just to die for and looked absolutely delicious. Well, Jameson just tweeted you, Hickey, on your popular Twitter account, @Ryan_Hickey3. And he said, if you don't come out swinging tomorrow, my cookies and some desserts from my friend's kosher deli. Wow, how about that? Will not make it your way. We don't play around in Milwaukee. So, Hickey, this is the biggest moment of your radio career. And we need you to be at your best. I need your takes to be the hottest that they've ever been. And I need you to come out swinging tomorrow, because if you don't, then Jameson's not going to send you food, and I would imagine that he would hold me responsible for having you fill in for me on the show, and then I won't be getting my care package as well. And if I get robbed and deprived of my care package, then we got big-time problems.
Here's what I can guarantee, and as you know, my guarantees are always right, never wrong.
Oh, boy.
I will not go down looking. I will not go down with the bat on my shoulder. If I'm going to strike out on three pitches, damn it, it's going to be on three swings for the fences. I won't be looking there, hoping to
all
get
right,
a walk.
Vogel back.
Strike one down the middle, strike two down the middle, strike three down the middle. Okay, I'm going to go back now after the bat didn't leave my shoulder. I'm swinging for the fences. Every cut's going to be a home run cut. I'm going for the 10-run home run out of the stadium, into McCovey Cove. You name it, I'm going for it.
The 10-run home run. You been drinking tonight?
Well, no, you ever – always announcers always talk about, oh, he was trying to hit a 7-run home run there when the team's down 8-1 and you take a swing out of your shoes.
All right. You better not be Carlos Beltran in the NLCS in 2006 up against the Cardinals. That's all
bat
I'm going
to
say.
Bat will not be on the shoulder. I'll not be caught looking at some curveball to end the season. That's for sure.
I'm going to be listening, maybe not live. Maybe I'll use the rewind function on the Odyssey app. But if I go back and listen and I don't like what I'm hearing, this could be the end of our relationship, Icky. This could be the end of the Zach Gelb hot take Icky relationship.
If the show is bad, I can't come to work on Monday. That's it? You're firing me?
Yeah. If I'm getting deprived of desserts from Jameson because of your incompetence, I think we may show you the door or reassign you. We don't need to get you fired. We'll just reassign you to a different show.
You know, people say I got fired on my off day. You're firing me on your off day? Yeah. What?
At least I didn't invite you. Who was it? Oh, it was Jeremy Macklin, I think it was, who invited Andy Reid and the GM at the time. I forget who. Maybe it was John Dorsey invited him to the wedding, and then on the honeymoon they got rid of him.
Oh, jeez. Hopefully that gift was a little heavier than normal.
That could be you. Tomorrow, few beers deep after the Bob's Bar Show. I'm sitting around. All right. Let me fire up the good old radio, the good old Odyssey app, Sirius XM channel 158. Let me tune in for Hot Take Icky. All right, let me tell you why the Indianapolis Colts are going to the playoffs this year. Click. Looking
no,
for a new
come
producer.
On, I wouldn't do that.
Yes, you would.
I have respect for the audience. We've
done it for
talking,
the last 3 years.
As you would say, Colts propaganda.
Oh, let me tell you. Whenever I'm away, I feel like the Colts propaganda cannot be stopped, and then you always find a way to bring up some dopey Colts reference throughout the show.
No. Well, actually, you might bring up some Colts tomorrow.
Yeah. Why? Why would you possibly be talking Colts tomorrow?
Well, more talking about the undervalue of the running back position.
Oh, with Jonathan Taylor in the news?
Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley. The word he'll get paid, Colts might be mentioned, but it'll be quick, it'll be brief, and it'll not be a Colts takeover.
Jonathan Taylor will get paid, though, because you have Anthony Richardson, and you're not going to want to screw over the young quarterback that you just selected with the fourth overall pick in the draft. So you'll pay Jonathan Taylor because that's the biggest star on your team right now.
Oh, without a doubt.
I know Quinnen Nelson is a really good offensive line, had a miserable season last year. Darius or Shaqlin or whatever he's going by now, he has dealt with some injuries, but he's still a really good player in the NFL. Outside of that, and I don't know what Anthony Richardson's going to be. Michael Pittman Jr. is a solid wide receiver, but he's not a great wide receiver. Outside of that, you don't got much of that Colts team. If Jim Irsay is serious about winning two Super Bowls this decade, he would find a way to make sure that he doesn't let Jonathan Taylor walk out the door anytime soon, even with the running back position being devalued these days.
Oh, he's serious about that. He's serious. That is for sure, yeah. Unfortunately, because that means he'll probably still keep proclaiming it, but I would agree. I think they do get it done.
Okay. Well, let me get to the five questions that I have for you for this upcoming college football season. Even though you're not always right on these takes, I will say pound for pound knowledge of the overall sport of college football, I would put your knowledge, even though you don't always formulate the right opinions, up against everybody at the station here, at the network, at CBS Sports Radio, at least Monday through Friday. I can't delve into every single host on the weekend. I will just say from the Monday through Friday, talent, producers, board ops, update anchors, I don't think anybody watches more college football than you. So let me ask you these five questions. Number one, will Georgia three-peat this year? Where's your confidence level that Georgia's going to three-peat this year?
I'm going to say no. I think it's just too tough at this point. I'm a little like Stetson Bennett was a really good quarterback. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he did at Georgia. I think that's a big loss going forward here. I will say no. My early pick, USC.
And you actually were not that nice to Stetson Bennett this time last year. You said he should have left Georgia
and that it wasn't going to be good from here on out because he peaked that year, and then he ended up having a better season and then ended up winning another national championship.
That's right. Yes. No, I was this time last year. Stetson made me now eat my words. So props to him.
That actually may be my favorite interaction that you've had with an athlete since we've done this show together for now almost 3 years with you in the producer chair. when Hickey comes to the Heisman with me and goes, and what did you say to Stetson Bennett? Something along the lines of like, some people didn't think you should come back to college or that you'd be back here.
Stetson, that were criticizing your decision to come back last year. Do you feel like you validated those doubters? And without naming anyone specifically, because Stetson, as you are aware, there's been a lot of people, not that the person asking you the question would ever say something like that, but just other people out there that doubted you. Do you feel validated?
And just to give people the visual, so they have all the Heisman finalists on these risers, and they make them all available for the media. So while Caleb Williams is talking, also is Max Duggan, CJ Stroud, and then also Stetson Bennett, the four Heisman finalists from this past year. So I was at another table. If I was at the table, Hickey, when you were asking that question to Stetson Bennett, oh, we would have had a great clip. Because I would have said, you know, the guy that he's saying, oh, some people said was him. And I just would have loved to see how Stetson Bennett would have reacted to it. I think he probably would have looked at me as if I had 10 heads, to be honest. Or he would have gave you maybe a devilish smile as well. Like, oh, well, how do you like me now? He ended up being wrong. Because Stetson Bennett, I don't know. He was a little bit weird that day, I thought.
I think he's just very reserved and quiet. I mean, he's also like 25 years old. So I feel like part of it is just like, not that I'm over it, but it's just like,
what, another media availability. Like,
no
enough.
One can say anything but what I've done. So, yeah, he was definitely reserved and also at the same time, like, deep thinker. He took a lot of time after every question, really sitting there pondering what his answer was. He was very measured.
Soft-spoken, too. He was definitely soft-spoken. So, you don't like Georgia to three-peat. How about Alabama? Do you have Alabama, I'm not saying winning at all, but at least returning to the college football playoff?
I do not. No. I'm very concerned about their quarterback position. I'm very concerned about their skill positions as well. We saw last year Jahmyr Gibbs was the only real threat of the running backs, tight ends, receivers. Well, we saw him just go number 12 overall, and they've not really done a lot that I like in terms of replacing and really not even replacing, just bringing in sort of production, especially on the offensive end. So I don't think Alabama's going to the college football playoff this year.
Now, once again, the views of Hot Take Hickey do not reflect the views of Zach Gelb of the Zach Gelb Show, but I will just ask you this, and this is not one of the five questions that I'm going to ask you a part of this segment. Is this just the SEC bias that you have where most people think SEC bias and it's like, oh, propping it up? You have a bias against the SEC because you always love death, taxes, and Hickey loving to just take a little jab at the SEC here and there. Is this more wishful thinking by you? Actually do believe these things?
No, I mean, look at last year. They lost two games with
Bryce
Young
Georgia too.
At quarterback, and they and Will Anderson as the best edge rusher, maybe the best arguably non-quarterback in college football. So you lose those two guys. You don't really bring anyone back or bring anyone in that's really noteworthy in terms of incredible production. I don't see how all of a sudden they play a lot better than they did last year and make the college world playoff when you lose two huge, huge pieces from their team. Now, about the SEC bias alleged, you're not wrong. Listen, do I love poking the bear? Absolutely. Do I love making sarcastic jokes at the SEC? Every time I will. But also, I think I show teams respect when they deserve respect. I've complimented Michigan now multiple times. It pains me to do it, but the truth is the truth. I will give respect where it's due, but also at the same time, am I shy to take jabs? Absolutely not.
By the way, I thought of you today when I was getting ready for the show. I logged on the cesspool that is Twitter, and I have to pull this up, but I did see a tweet from Dan Orlovsky where he was looking at the 2024 Florida football schedule that was released today. And he was saying how that could be maybe the greatest schedule on paper that he's ever seen. And I thought about you because you were bitching a few weeks ago when the SEC came out and they said, oh, we're only going to play 8 conference games. And you're like, oh, man, there's going to be all these cupcake games. It's terrible for the sport, all this, yada, yada, yada. Can I read you the 2024 Florida football schedule? Because this is a monster schedule.
Sure, let's hear it.
So they open up the season, the Gators, up against Miami. That's on August 31st. This is 2024.
By the way, this is in no order. The dates have not been released.
Okay, I'm just telling you, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, five dates that are on this. The rest are two to be determined.
I must be looking at a different graphic thing, because I'm looking at one that says in no order.
Okay, I'm just telling you, from FB schedules, they have a few dates that are out there, and then others, there's to be determined. So I'll just give you the way that it reads then. Miami, they play Samford. Okay, that's a bad one. UCF, Georgia, at Florida State, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, A&M, Mississippi State, Tennessee, and the Texas Longhorns. Now, there's no Alabama on there. You do have Georgia on there. There's only one cupcake game there that reads, and that, of course, would be Samford. That's a pretty damn good schedule.
I give Florida a lot of credit. They're one of two SEC teams last year that played at least 10 Power 5 opponents. You just read it off. They're playing, I mean, with UCF now in the Big 12, they're playing 11 out of 12 Power 5 opponents. I give them a lot of credit. Florida's one of the few teams in the SEC that does schedule hard. You got two ACC teams in Miami and Florida State. I got no issue with the Gators. So that's what people want. We want more of that.
But you could see when you put up this big stink how only 8 conference games, it's a travesty. And then you take a glance at, let's just go to Penn State, let's say, for 2024. West Virginia, Bowling Green, Kent State, the Hoosiers of Indiana, Michigan State, Nebraska, Northwestern, Ohio State, USC, Purdue, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. That Florida schedule is better than what you guys are putting out there, even with the extra conference game.
Because non-conference is not great for Penn State, and West Virginia is not very good right now, so...
Yeah,
the non-conference
saying,
games stink, for sure.
You won't admit it, but I think when you got in this conversation a week or two ago, I forget how long it was, where you made such a big deal about 8 conference games to 9 conference games, if it was any other conference that did that, I don't think you would freak out with the venom that you did. It's just because it's the SEC. And that's where I'm just pointing out your hatred for the SEC. That's all I was doing.
Florida is the exception to the rule right now in the SEC. They scared, again, you only have one cupcake game in Samford for 2024. They are not afraid to play other non-conference games that are good. But I'm saying, like, when you have other schools that are playing two or three of these teams out of the four non-conference, it's not good for the sport.
But
and
once
so I'd
again,
rather have an extra conference game than an extra Samford. No disrespect to Samford and their great program.
Fine, but what you're missing is just because you schedule the extra conference game in a Big Ten that has a good football conference, it's still not the SEC. And you have a school like Penn State that still has the cupcakes on there. I don't think the big stink that you put up for one game, the difference of one game, I don't think the juice was worth the squeeze. But anyway, let's keep it moving. What's the next chapter for Michigan and Ohio State? We've seen Michigan not only close the gap, they have been much better in the two games that they've played the last 2 years, Michigan and Ohio State. What do you think the next chapter is for Michigan and the Ohio State?
Three-peat. At home, Michigan's just bullied them into submission. I don't like the quarterback situation right now at all at Ohio State. You know, they have a ton of talent elsewhere. Ohio State cannot respond right now to bully ball. And credit to Jim Harbaugh. He has figured out a way to consistently now run it down Ohio State's throat. And I don't see that changing in 2023.
And I think J.J. McCarthy will be better. You have Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum both back. I agree with you. I think Michigan's going to win that game, and they're also at home. And I think I'm actually going to be going to the Big House for that game. Bunch of my friends are planning a trip. We'll see if it comes to fruition, but there's a good chance that I'll be at the Big House for Michigan-Ohio State this year. All right, Hickey, here's the question that we've been asking for a while. We make a lot of fun when we ask this question. Is Texas finally back?
No.
I can't wait to watch Texas football this year. They have a good schedule, and they play Alabama again early. I forget what the exact date is, but Quinn Ewers is going to start. We'll see if he ends the season when you have Arch Manning there. But I'm just curious to see, can we get back-to-back years where it's like Texas is really popping, where let's just say, I don't know, they win the Big 12 in their final year in the Big 12, maybe go to the college football playoff, and then you have the Arch Manning era start the year after that. I think that would make for fun. However, whenever we say Texas is back, they always find a way to let us down, so it's tough to disagree with you. And then finally, there's two coaches that you really want to see how they perform this year. I'll give you my two coaches. Dabo Swinney. I just want to see if he could bring Clemson back. What I mean by that, not having a team that definitely is going to go win a national championship, and he has Kate Klubnik now as the starting quarterback from day one, but can you go out there in an ACC that has Drake May and UNC now, can you go out there and can you win the conference again? That's what I want to see from, you know, win the conference and make the college football playoff. Let me be clear on that. Make the college football playoff. That's what I want to see from Clemson this year, is not only them win the conference, but also parlay that into being in the college football playoff as well. And the other coach that I'm really watching for, the debut of primetime in Deion Sanders. I don't know what year one has in store, but I do think Deion Sanders is ready for a bigger job. I thought it would have been bigger than Colorado, but I am curious to just see what Deion Sanders does in year number one. So who's the two coaches that you really have a keen eye on for this season? You're curious to see how they perform.
I will go Jimbo Fisher, because I think this could be actually the year he's fired if things don't go well, despite the massive buyout. I just cannot see A&M being that much more patient with a guy that's not really shown you a lot. And I will go Lincoln Riley, because he's made the playoff before, yes. He's never won a playoff game. And this maybe, for all the great quarterbacks he's had in the past and will get, I'm sure, in the future, this might be the best quarterback he ever coaches. Caleb Williams looks to be one of those generationally talented guys that really cuts through. You get him now back for another season this year. This has to be the year, if you are Lincoln Riley, that you not only make the playoff, you win a game, and I would probably say win the national championship. This is, I think, the quarterback, at least, that will give you the best chance at it.
This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know, and I don't recall what you said 14 minutes ago, but I just got a Twitter message saying, I've never heard that before from Ryan. Is he drinking right now? So I don't know what you said 14 minutes ago that was so controversial.
Was it about coming out swinging?
I don't think so. Is that controversial that people would think that you're drinking off that? It's usually associated with something that's just like a crazy take that you ended up saying. So
14 minutes ago, I mean, right? That's basically how long the segment's been, right? I think.
I don't know. Maybe it's one of your college football takes. Could have been that.
Come on. No, definitely not.
I will follow back up with this person, and I will get to the bottom of this. I will put on my detective glasses, and I'll try to figure out why the listening audience thinks that you're drinking right now, which I can't see. I'm not in the same building as you today, so.
Drinking only water.
I don't know. I may have to ask CeeLo to go check that cup and see if there's any Casamigos tequila in there.
I see a couple mugs and cups in there. Anything's possible.
Some Red Solo cups?
I mean, not Red Solo, but he's got like a little tumbler thing situation and then the standard white Dunkin' cup there.
Gotcha.
So you never know what he's dropping in there.
With the tea bag of the tea still attached. So it's take okay. That for what you will.
It wouldn't surprise me if you put some tequila in that tea. Wouldn't surprise me
not
whatsoever.
Not a twisted tea. Not a twisted tea.
Okay. You are a twisted human being.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's take some calls for the first time today, and we go to John in South Carolina. First up with Zach Gelb. John, what do you got?
Hey, buddy, I want to go back to your football prognostications in the NFL. It's going to be the Browns and Kansas City. The Browns, you know, they have a bad history of making deals with the devil. Art Modell did it, took him to Baltimore. They won a Super Bowl the second year. He got all his money. I think the ownership of the Browns now, man, they made a deal with the dark side. It's the second year for Watson, maybe year one and a half. So if it's not this year, it's next year. But they'll get the payback. They'll get the Super Bowl, which the Browns deserve because they've never been any good since the Super Bowl, you know, was born, not ever good. And then they're going to, I don't know what the price is going to pay last time they lost the team. And you got to quit picking on your buddy, man, because getting a hickey is a really good thing. Hey, later.
Well, you know what, Hickey, I don't know if you really want to take that compliment at the end. There was a lot of feedback on my end, so I didn't want to interrupt him. But when he starts off by saying that the Browns are going to win a Super Bowl, and they're going to be better than the Cincinnati Bengals this year, and then at the end throws in, stop picking on your buddy in hot take Hickey, I don't know if that's the most coherent thought in the world when you look at all the things that were just said in that conversation.
I haven't had heard a Hickey joke since like fifth grade, so I like it. Brings me back to my youth.
That was a Hickey joke?
I thought it was, right? Did you say getting a Hickey is a good thing? That's what I heard. I could be wrong.
Oh, is that?
So I haven't heard one of those jokes in a long time, which you know I like.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I thought he was just propping you up and trying to say, oh, I'm a big fan of Hot Take Hickey and things like that. So he was making a juvenile Hickey joke.
How I heard it. Like I said, it was a little tough to understand at some points, but that's how I took it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. I will just say this.
Copman instead.
Do you put any validity there in the Browns? Do you think the Browns could win the division this year? And you're optimistic of the Browns. Do you think the Browns go to the playoffs? Can they win the division this year?
I think they have the second best chance to. I would not pick them over the Bengals, but I like his reasoning. I like John's reasoning of basically they're still the devil with Deshaun Watson, just like Art Modell did in going to Baltimore. So, I mean, the logic is sound. I will say the logic is sound.
Okay. If you know what? Do you think that has to be a Browns fan, right? There's no way you're...
Oh, big time Browns fan.
Yeah. Did you confirm that with him?
Yes, he grew up in Cleveland, then moved to South Carolina.
Real quick, let's go to Jay in Green Bay. Jay, only got a minute. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Zach. I just want to agree, actually, with Hot Take, with Michigan and their three-peat, or their upcoming three-peat over Ohio State. I want to go a little bit further, and not only are they going to three-peat with the Big Ten, they are going to get over the college football playoff hump, win a college football playoff game, and be playing for a national championship this year. Probably against USC unless we are unfortunate enough to draw them in the first round.
Jay, appreciate it. Thanks so much. I don't know if it's going to be up against USC, but if I was to not take Georgia or Alabama, which everyone picks every year, I would go to Michigan because you have McCarthy, you have Blake Corum, you have Edwards. They replaced so much talent the last 2 years on defense, and they've done so seamlessly. You may want to put a future on Michigan. I don't think it's a bad bet.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.